This week, the Oxford Dictionary named vape the 2014 word of the year, citing the fact that usage of the term has doubled in just the last 12 months. But people aren't just saying vape, they're doing it more too. According to Wells Fargo, vaping has become a major part of the estimated $2.5 billion e-cigarette industry, which is projected to reach $10 billion in the next 3 years. So what's driving the market? Addiction to nicotine? Marketing? A gateway for those looking to quit smoking? Turns out, the answer is not so simple. Leah Satilli wrote about the surprisingly complex vaping scene in an article for The Atlantic, The Right to Vape. So I suppose we should get right into the lingo, because there is lingo, and some of this I didn't know anything about until I read your article. Now, the FDA refers to them as e-cigarettes. Does the vaping community use that same term?
You know, they do. I mean, I've heard people say e-cigs, or but people who smoke e-cigarettes generally call themselves vapers, and that's because what they're doing is they're using these battery powered devices that actually turn this e-juice, which has tobacco in it, into aerosol, and so that's turns into vapor essentially. So they call themselves vapers.
Now, when we hear about e-cigarettes, we think of the ones that they sell at gas stations and are designed, you know, to look like cigarettes. But they really run the gamut. How much do these devices differ in terms of size, specs, cost, that sort of thing?
Oh my God! I mean, it's anything you can think of. I mean, there it goes from, like you said, the sort of, they're called cigalikes, where they look like cigarettes, and those are generally manufactured by big tobacco companies, but they range all the way to, you know, reusable giant ones. They have ones that look like guitar pedals, ones that look like, I mean, cigars. They really do range in every sort of shape, size, cost. So as far as the ones that are cigalikes, those generally are cheaper and more disposable. But when people get really into vaping, as a lot of the people I wrote about are, they will spend up to $300 or $500 on some of the more premier devices, I guess.
And it sounds like, you know, especially once we get towards something that's custom, that looks like you mentioned, a guitar pedal, we're seeing people that are really trying to distance themselves from smoking and big tobacco and the, you know, the sort of cigarette image in general.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the people I chatted with for my story, I mean, they're actually offended by the fact that big tobacco would even try and get in on this, because what they see is that the vaping has helped them quit smoking, and that they feel like smoking was something that they were really marginalized because of, they were really ashamed of. And so now they've broken away from these addictions and they're vaping, but now with big tobacco getting in on it, they're kind of like, wait, no, you're not invited to this party. This is just for us.
Well, to get a better sense of how different the vaping community can sort of make it sound compared to cigarettes and tobacco, here's a clip of Rodney Jerabak. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's the founder of Five Ponds. Now, that's a company that manufactures high-end vapor liquid.
I think what differentiates Five Ponds as well is the fact that we only had five original flavors to start. We've got, you know, and we're only launching fives. We've got five more coming down the road, which slated right now as the mixology edition, where every one of those flavors will mimic a signature cocktail, let's just say. Everything will have a subtle alcohol note.
Leah, he sounds like he's talking about wine. Is there like an artisanal aspect to this community?
You know, with Five Ponds, there definitely is, which was a big reason why I wanted to talk with them, because you see e-juice everywhere. I mean, in gas stations, you'll find, you know, candy apple or sour apple flavored e-juice.
And I guess we should clarify real quickly that e-juice is, well, what is e-juice?
Well, e-juice is, it's a liquid that you put into your refillable cigarette. So it's a mix of propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin, and then there's also nicotine in it, and people can kind of mess with the percentage of nicotine that they're actually vaping. So some people do vape a 0% nicotine e-juice, which is interesting, because that means that they're really just vaping nothing in a way. So to answer your question, yes, there with Five Ponds, there's definitely this kind of high-end cigar smoker type of e-juice that they're trying to make. And I know that Five Ponds has things like crisp mint with chocolate undertones and a vanilla finish, those sorts of, that kind of language that they use to describe their flavors. But really, everyone that I chatted with for my story talks about that this is sort of this great equalizer with vaping, that anybody can do it. And there's, you know, women in their 70s that do it. And there's really kids in their 20s that have never smoked cigarettes, but have actually pick up vaping for the first time.
Well, and that's, of course, an issue that I think a lot of people, especially on the medical side of this, would be concerned about, not wanting new people to pick up vaping who aren't even smoking cigarettes in the first place. But I want to move towards another subculture that you talked about. Now, this is something called cloud chasing. I guess maybe could you tell us what it is just briefly before I play you this clip?
Absolutely. I mean, and I'll be honest, cloud chasing was the reason that I did this story and then was surprised by what I uncovered. So on Instagram, you'll see lots of people posting these pictures of them blowing these absolutely ridiculously large clouds of vapor. And that's what cloud chasing is. It's sort of this competitive activity to blow the biggest clouds of vapor that you can. I was confused by it because I didn't really know what the point was. But then when I had someone describe it to me as sort of like, it's almost like beer bonging or shotgunning a beer, then it kind of made a little bit more sense. It's sort of this silly thing, I guess.
Okay, so we found a clip online. It's like cloud chasing 101. It's a guy basically explaining how to do it and how to modify your vaping equipment to do it as best as possible.
You see, the average vapers don't realize how much technique goes into cloud chasing, to the point where it can be considered an art form. I mean, it's hard.
So it sounds to me a little bit like he's really trying to legitimize this as, I guess, maybe a sport. But are some of these kinds of pro vaping, pro cloud chasing trends and even events, because there are competitive events where people cloud chase, is this hurting, I guess, the cause for people who just want to replace cigarettes with vapor, which may or may not be healthier, but probably is?
You know, that's the real question, I think, because on one hand, there are people who say that cloud chasing is sort of this really great community of people that are really accepting and they want to just kind of get together and blow these clouds and whatever. But for some of the folks I chatted with for my story, they definitely said, you know, this looks bad. We don't know if this stuff it has not been proven yet to be healthier than smoking. So for young folks to be picking it up and, you know, really taking in this massive amount of the substance that isn't approved by the FDA, it might actually end up putting further regulation on it in advance of the FDA figuring out if it's good or bad. I think it could be pretty bad for the industry.
So you mentioned that, you know, big tobacco is definitely trying to wade in on this market. But right now it seems like there's so many different manufacturers, there's so many different retailers of the e-juice, of the equipment that people use to vape. What's going to happen to these quote unquote little guys if big tobacco really gets in on the e-cigarette game in a big way?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that I think things could really, really change, because I think that it could end up becoming a very expensive industry to be a part of. From everything, like e-juice companies may need to make it so all of their products are in glass bottles, or every item that they have, they pay a certain amount for it to be licensed and everything. So I think if big tobacco really does get in on it, I think we're going to see the industry completely change.
Leah Sottile, thank you so much for explaining this really interesting, sort of weird subculture for us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Leah Sottile wrote about the vaping scene in an article for The Atlantic, The Right to Vape. You'll find a link to her article and a video of cloud chasing on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. You may have heard that changes to NPR's Morning Edition clock went into effect this week. But why should you care? When we come back, an in-depth look into how public radio is made and why the design of a program clock really does matter.